The lights get out and look up at the sky. And I do this to remind me that I'm really, really tiny in the grand scheme of things, and sometimes this terrifies me. It's only really scary cause it makes me feel serene in a way I never thought I'd be, because I've never been so grounded and so humbled and so one with everything.
I am grounded, I am humbled, I am one with everything.
Rock and roll is fun, but if you ever hear someone say you are huge, look at the moon, look at the stars, look at the sun, look at the ocean and the desert and the mountains and the sky. Say I am just a speck of dust inside a giant's eye.
I am just a speck of dust inside a giant's eye.
When I saw Genevieve, I really liked it when she said what she said about the giant and the lemmings on the cliff. She said I like giants, especially girl giants, cause all girls feel too big sometimes, regardless of their size. When I go for a drive, I like to pull off to the side of the road and run and jump into the ocean in my clothes. I'm smaller than a poppy seed inside a great big bowl, and the ocean is a giant that can swallow me whole. So I swim for all salvation, and I swim to save my soul, but my soul is just a whisper trapped inside a tornado. So I flip to my back, and I float, and I sing. I am grounded, I am humbled, I am one with everything.
I am grounded, I am humbled, I am one with everything.
So I talked to Genevieve and almost cried when she said that the giant on the cliff wished that she was dead, and the lemmings on the cliff wished that they were dead. So the giant told the lemmings why they ought to live instead. When she thought of all the reasons that they ought to live instead, it made her reconsider all the sad thoughts in her head. So thank you, Genevieve, cause you take what is in your head, you make things that are so beautiful and share them with your friends. We all become important when we realize our goal should be to figure out our role within the context of the whole. And yeah, rock and roll is fun, but if you ever hear someone say you are huge, look at the moon, look at the stars, look at the sun, look at the ocean and the desert and the mountains and the sky. Say I am just a speck of dust inside a giant's eye.
I am just a speck of dust inside a giant's eye. I am just a speck of dust inside a giant's eye.
And I don't wanna make her cry, cause I like giants.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Rhizome Radio. You probably haven't heard us in a long time because Brian, or DJ Beetle, was feeling a little under the weather. So today we're in a studio talking a little bit about free school. I've got one of the free school organizers besides myself. What moniker do you go by?
You can call me Maria.
Maria, interesting. So I think we've talked about free school a little bit before on this show. Free school is a sort of non-hierarchical, pro-love, pro-life, wait, maybe that didn't come out right. Free school is an attempt and a project to liberate learning and take it out of the people who have tried to claim learning and education and knowledge as theirs, and bring it back to where it belongs in our communities, where a lot of us know a lot of things and a lot of us have a lot of skills, and so we're just trying to share that. Is that...
Sure, it's a good start.
You're the organizer.
Well, I think that a lot of what free school is about empowerment and seeking to, yeah, to put the skills back into the community of life where they belong, rather than in sticky, stodgy institutions that promote industries of death. I think that probably, I mean, free school has been happening now in Hamilton for the last 4 or 5 months. The first term started in January, and so we've had, I don't know, there were maybe like 10 or 12 classes running mm-hmm. for the last 4 months, and now they're sort of all slowly winding down just in time for term two. But those classes, I mean, what's kind of interesting about it is, for me anyway, like the best outcome has been this like renewed sense of community and all of these new relationships that get built. Neighbors meet each other and, you know, people start projects together and friendships are created. Mm-hmm. All like at the same time that people are developing skills that they didn't have before. Mm. So
what kind of skills are we talking about here?
This term, there was a French club, a music theory class, a class about permaculture and sustainable earth-based lifestyles and relationships, a class about consensus, communication, and conflict. There was a class called Decolonizing the Body that was focused on freeing some of our inner instinctive ways of moving and living in our forms. There was a class about being outdoors that was all about sort of exploring the wild places and learning things like tracking skills and plant and animal identification. There's a Go Club that was, it's a Chinese strategy game. Hmm. So lots of different skills. You know, the range of things that you can develop in free school is quite wide.
Hmm. And I guess, or at least in my role as an organizer, I guess I've come to realize that while it's great that we have a lot of classes that are sort of, I don't know, maybe espouse certain political ideas or sort of provide skills that enable communities to be more self-sufficient, I guess. It's also a lot about the way in which these classes the way in which learning is spread around in these classes and the way in which knowledge is dispersed. Maybe... do you think you could comment on that for a little bit?
Well, I think that our society really reveres the expert and expertise and specialization. And so we sort of aspire to a career and you become a doctor or a lawyer or a scientist or an economist. And so everyone has these specific skills and might be really well versed in that one area. And be considered an expert. And those are the people who get to make decisions about those aspects of our culture, which is a problem because they're not the only people participating in that culture. And I think that ultimately free school really believes that everyone is an expert in their own life and that everyone has some insight to offer to any topic. So the facilitators of the various free school classes aren't experts. They might have a little bit more specific knowledge about the topics that they're facilitating. But in all cases, I think those facilitators have sought out ways to share the role of teaching and learning with everyone. Everyone is sort of equally considered a learner in that environment. And that expertise, this illusion of expertise is... diminished at least, if not totally erased. Everyone in the class is invited to bring their experiences and whatever ideas they have about the topics of the day to the room or the space, I guess. And in a lot of cases, it's like a collective experiment. I think that decolonizing the body is a good example. In some ways, one of the facilitators is a trained dancer, but in that class was a lot about experimenting with, challenging some of the conventional ways that we're taught to move, and it was a totally collective, collaborative experience of body decolonization. So,
what have there been challenges thus far in the project? It's weird asking these questions because I think I know a lot of the answers myself, but maybe we actually haven't talked terribly in depth about the challenges free school has faced so far, and we certainly haven't talked about them on air
publicly
to an audience of 3 or 4 million people. So, what in your perspective have been some of the challenges, both because Maria has both been a facilitator as well as an organizer and a learner, in as much as those things can really be separated on the free school project. Mm-hmm. So in any of those capacities, what have you seen as challenges?
As an organizer, I think the major challenges that we're facing is expanding the diversity of the communities that we get to reach, and being able to offer things that are relevant to all kinds of different people, and making it as accessible as possible for people in different economic and cultural and social and age backgrounds. So, I mean, right now, most of the free school classes are really mostly relevant to adults or people with a relative level of maturity. All but one of the classes you would need to be at least somewhat Okay, there are a couple classes that you wouldn't necessarily need to be fluent in English, but for the most part, it's largely an English-speaking community. And I think there are other barriers that mean that the people that free school is currently reaching are still within a pretty narrow community. And so for me, like, I'm just really interested in opening it up to a wider audience. As a facilitator, the biggest challenge, and I used to be a TA at Mac, so I struggled with this even in that capacity. The biggest challenge for me as a facilitator has been breaking down the formal conventions that we're so used to about learning, and like trying to dispel this idea of expertise. And I don't know. I think it's always a struggle when you're in a group of people to negotiate the way that power is operating and the different kinds of power that different people in the room hold. And I think that a challenge for someone like me who has quite a bit of privilege, especially in my role as a facilitator, a big challenge is like dispersing the power that I have to other people, and making it a community of learning where everybody feels equally valid and able to bring their ideas to the fore. And I think that I was facilitating a permaculture class, which meant that, and I had some training in permaculture beforehand, but by the end of the term, everyone was at a place where they felt comfortable bringing up ideas, making suggestions, bringing materials. And so I think that we did eventually sort of succeed, at least, or got closer to the goal of, dispelling the myth of the expert. But that was a challenge. And then as a learner, what kinds of challenges did I face? I don't know. I think that was mostly exciting and fun. And I didn't find a lot of challenges within that role.
Well, one thing that I've been struggling with, and I haven't, maybe I shouldn't say struggling with, because I haven't thought about it an awful lot. It's just sort of an idea that kind of popped into my head at one point and has kind of been sticking around for a little while, is just, I guess, the diluting of what free school is potentially in the future, just because of the way that it's been set up. Free school, I think in some ways, or at least in its manifesto, talks about being informed by anarchist philosophy, and while that doesn't really mean much in particular, given how broad the broad spectrum of ideas that word can refer to, I don't know. I really enjoy and appreciate and think that what free school needs to be is relevant to the community, but at the same time, I guess I'm nervous if it turns into this. I don't know. And maybe I'm not nervous. I haven't really thought about it too much. But, like, what if there's, like, a go-kart club or something? Or, like, I don't know. How to clear-cut a forest course. And I know these things aren't actually going to happen. But I guess I'm just worried, like, that a lot of the, I don't know, the
radical
the
potential?
Intrinsically radically political things in free school could potentially be diluted. What are your thoughts on that, Maria, the organizer?
Well, you reminded me of something that I learned, or that a talk that I went to quite a while ago now. The man who was talking, was talking about a project called City Repair, which is an organization out of Portland that basically builds community through placemaking. And so that's a whole other story, and you can learn about city repair on the internet. But one of the things that he said is what you find when you undertake a revolution everyone can get behind is you get people on your side. And that's like super simple. But I think what's really valuable about free school and what might be sort of the buffer between, like, that protects the organization from your fears about, I don't know, dilution or the, you know, the co-optation, yeah, sure, of free school, is that this idea is, like, it's a radical idea in a lot of ways. You're supposed to pay for education. Skills and expertise are, they have a financial value in our culture. You're supposed to be made, you know, like, they're, we're supposed to sort of remain separate in age groups and separate in disciplines and separate in different communities. And so free school is challenging a lot of those barriers, but in a way that appeals to, like, a wide group of people. It is, like, it's a revolutionary idea that everybody can get behind. And we found that, like, there's over 100, 150 people who are involved in some way in free school, and I'm sure that the majority of them don't identify as anarchists. Well, I'm not sure, but I could assume that the majority of them don't identify as anarchists. But it's a revolution that they can get behind nonetheless. So I think the form of free school is revolutionary regardless, and it's up to the participants to make the content equally revolutionary. And yeah, like, it is possible that the content will change over time. I think, though, the way that this planet is headed, the tendency towards urgency and radical ideas is only going to swell in the coming years. I can only hope that. Maybe there will be a fascist backlash. I'm not sure. But
fascist school.
Yeah.
So your perception of things is that it's going to swell, say, like a tick bite or something.
Girl. I found a tick on me yesterday. That's what Brian's talking about.
Cool. Well, okay. This half hour time slot is so difficult to navigate. Well, maybe I think I've been going over time, and I think that's okay if I go over like a minute or two. Okay. Well, maybe we can talk a little bit about the upcoming summer term.
Yep.
And what's going on with that, and then maybe we can just do a couple quick announcements about upcoming events that are going on in Hamilton, because that's what the function of this show is, to connect folks with the amazing, wonderful, fabulous things happening around this city that sometimes get overlooked. And then we can play a track off of an album by some amazing MCs that I saw in Toronto a couple weeks ago. Called Climbing Poetry. They're from
Brooklyn.
Thank you. And yeah, just amazing. I'm not sure. I haven't actually listened to this album yet. But if it's anything like their spoken word stuff, then be prepared to. I don't know. If you're driving, you should probably pull over or something, because it's really amazing. Everything, music. So yeah, we'll get to that in a bit, maybe. But yeah, maybe we can talk a little bit about the upcoming summer term, since I don't know, it's weird that you happen to be in the studio when the summer term's about to start. It's almost as if, I don't know, are you promoting something?
Huh.
Weird.
Yeah.
Strange.
In fact, the official launch party is tomorrow.
What?
Preschool is having a potluck that will be a chance for people who have been involved in the project so far to meet each other, as well as new folks who are interested. It's a chance for facilitators to promote their new classes, a chance for us to share some experiences from past facilitators about, like, what it means to be a good facilitator and disperse power and be a free schooler. So it's going to be a good time. There's 100% chance of thunderstorms tomorrow afternoon, which sucks because we were hoping to have the potluck outside. But in case the thunderstorms don't show up, we will be in Central Park, which is between Bay and Hess, just north of Cannon. It's in a little valley, and it's a lovely little park. So we'll be there at 1 o'clock, potlucking it up. There'll be a little bit of live acoustic music, good food. We ask if you bring a dish to label it with the ingredients for dietary concerns. So potluck tomorrow. But if it's raining, then I think we will be at the Jamesville Community Center, which is at 209 McNabb Street North, at 6 p.m. For some party time. And you might hear about some of the classes that are being offered, like...
Oh, well, I'm the radio host. Okay, so the classes involved so far include French, Go Club, bike polo, and these are all things that that are continuing from the last term, a craft circle, soccer skills, will be facilitated by an amazing soccer player.
Brian's little sister.
Performance, metalworking, vegan baking, critical teaching, urban veggie gardening.
And permaculture.
A journal article reading club, Linux and open source software, and a play shop for adults, which sounds fascinating.
It's going to be a little bit of... learning to release your inner sexual being, some erotic movement.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And so if anybody is listening to this radio and didn't happen to have a pen and paper, were like almost crashed their automobiles or something trying to record this because they think it's an amazing idea.
It's going to be so awesome.
How can they, I don't know, find out more?
Well, there's a beautiful new website that just appeared last week, and it's www.hamiltonfreeschool.org, and free school is spelled FreeSkool. And you can also get in touch with us by email at hamiltonfreeschool@gmail.com. And, of course, you could also come to the potluck tomorrow. And another way of getting in touch is the Oberg office can direct your questions our way as well. So if you maybe don't have internet access, Oberg McMaster would be a good bet. You can phone them at some phone number that I don't know. But if you call the McMaster switchboard and ask for Oberg, You're dandy.
You're golden. Sweet. All right. Well, okay. So any last words and maybe some other announcements of what's happening in the near future?
Well, if you want to be really deeply inspired by some brilliant revolutionary artists against global industrial capitalism, you could visit the Sky Dragon tonight as a part of the May Art Crawl. The Beehive Collective is in town, and they're an incredible arts-based organization that does these massive, stunning, heart-wrenching murals about imperialism and globalization. So Beehive Collective at the Sky Dragon. I'm not sure if there's someone from the collective who's going to be talking about the show, and that's either at 7 or 8 o'clock, but the art crawl runs from 7 to 9, and the art should be up for the next month.
Cool.
Maybe. It's well worth seeing, for sure.
Sweet.
And, of course, potluck tomorrow. Boop, boop, boop. Details are on the website, hamiltonfreeschool.org.
Puna Bomb Sunday in Gore Park at around 4 o'clock. Free food if you, I don't know, maybe feeling a little tummy grumbly and think, hey, I wonder what people can do with potatoes these days. You can walk out to Gore Park around 4 and there's free food for everybody. All right, well, for those who have been waiting anxiously, maybe we'll lay down this track by Elixir Naima from Climbing Poetry. I'd like to thank... Maria from Free School for being in the studio with me today and offering those precious gems. So thanks.
No problem. Thank
and,
you.
And I'll leave you with hopefully a amazing, wonderful, life-changing track. See you in a couple weeks, y'all. Thank you.
shackles for kite strings and think new up, ways think to find strength to give us.
I know they're watching, ancestors watching. I know they're watching, I know. I know they're watching, ancestors watching. I know they're watching, I know. I organize a Marcus Garvey, puff flower, Bob Marley. Ride through all over Harriet Tubman on the Harley. See truth with Sojourner, teach youth with that turner. On the block with Shaka Zulu, locking and open the burner. Home is a war zone, fuck what you heard. Holy shoot to kill and go chill in the burbs. Marry the same brother used to serve him herb. And got the nerve to say nigga got what he deserve. And then it's back on the ground, the whole system's foul. Blow up the White House, the time is now. So I'm calling out on the spirit of Shay, Malcolm and Mal. Free the Kylo, Queen and Zynga, bring Babylon down.
Ancestors watching, I know they watching, I know they watching, ancestors watching, I know they watching, I know.
Mis ancestros caminaban con aire entre sus pies cuando la niña, la pinta de la Santa María vinieron con su ley. Teníamos el sol enterrado en nuestras venas, pero el blanco agarró pintándonos de penas. Hablamos nuestra historia con lengua despegada, el pasado con su esposa cuya espalda fue azotada y de su vientre en erasoles con las piernas amarradas. Corriendo hacia un futuro, quienes calles están cansadas cuando ellos de la guerra para el cielo le empujaban y con bala y espada a sus hijos le mataban.